Well, as I noted, we're marking 34 years. It's hard to imagine it's been that long. Landmark Baptist has been around 34 years, and I've been her pastor for 34 years. And I will reflect on just some thoughts, that random thoughts, as you'll see, that kind of popped in my head through the week, and I jotted down a few things. And I apologize if some of this seems personal, more than maybe the church, but really it's applicable to us all. The Lord's blessing on the church, the Lord's blessing on me. And it's impossible that I could reflect upon all of God's blessings, or reflect upon all of God's provisions over those 34 years. And I'm sure to overlook some important things. And I'm sure of this as well. There's many things that I'm not even aware of now, you know, where the Lord provided and protected, that we'll find out about later. But He's faithful. Oftentimes, when I approach a time like this, an event like this, I reflect upon one passage of Scripture that's meant a lot to me. You've all probably heard of me refer to this passage in the past. But it's never the same. You know, God's Word is, well, you never finish it. I mean, the Lord speaks to us through it, and sometimes it's different things that He speaks to us through it, through the Spirit. His Word doesn't change, but He speaks different things to us because it's so broad and all-encompassing. In particular, I reflect upon a time when Jacob was returning to Canaan. And you remember, there was some bad blood between Jacob and his brother. And he had to run off, and his brother was angry at him, could have got his hands on him, he would have killed him. And a lot of things transpired over the intervening years, and Jacob had a large and growing family. And eventually, the Lord led him to come back to Canaan. But as he's coming back to Canaan, you know, he knows he's going to have to face his brother Esau, and he's got some troubles, he's got some thoughts, he's got some fears. And amongst other things, he divides his family into two camps. So, you know, figure, you know, Esau can't kill them all, both at the same time anyway. But in the midst of that, Jacob reflects upon what God had done in his life and what He had brought about in those intervening years. And one verse in particular that often speaks to me and says more and more to me every time I read it. In Genesis 32 and verse 10, Jacob said to the Lord, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I become two bands." And I said, boy, God's done a lot in those intervening years. I crossed Jordan, all I had was this stick in my hand, this staff. And now I've got a great, large family and possessions and God's blessings and these things that God's accomplished. And I will reflect on a few of the things that Jacob says here and apply them to what the Lord's done in our lives as well. First of all, Jacob starts out and he says, "I am not worthy." I saw some fellow this week, an old preacher, somebody published what he had said, quoting him, but it basically was, you know, if you think you're deserving of heaven, you're not a Christian. You know, I got news for you. You're not a Christian. And Jacob's brought to say, "I am not worthy." And every day, every week, every year, that truth is brought home more clearly, I think, to the child of God. And I know that it's brought home more clearly to me. I'm not worthy. And I look, we've been studying through Galatians, on again and off again. And we've been studying through Galatians and the Apostle Paul. And man, he was so greatly used of God. Magnificent things were done through the Apostle. But Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was the pastor at the church of Ephesus, and said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Timothy, I want you to understand this. This is absolutely the fact. This is the truth. This is a hardcore truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Say I was chief. Paul said, "Nope. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I am as convinced of that truth as the Apostle Paul was. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's our hope. He came into the world to save sinners, and I'm one of them. And we see the saints of God, you know, through the scriptures. We studied on in and about Father's Day, which stretched out a couple, 3 weeks. You know, the Old Testament Saint Job. And Job was brought, as he considered his own life, and even though he was a renowned man, well known in the regions, and greatly respected, Job would said in Job 42:6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Sometimes folks say to you, an occasion they even said to me, you know, that, "Well, you're a good man." I said, "That's just because you don't know me well enough." You know? You don't know me as well as I know myself. I'm not a good man. I'm the chief of sinners. I abhor myself. Job said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And so Jacob says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." Again, Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. He said this, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He said, "Yeah, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle." He goes on to say, "But what I am by the grace of God." You know, God did those things and used him. And God uses us poor, weak, miserable creatures. I've told you all before, and I really believe this. I really wish you all could have a much better preacher, a much better pastor. But the Lord's put me here, and I guess we're stuck with each other until he determines something else. I don't know. And I don't mean that flippantly or facetiously at all. And Paul said, "I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy of being called an apostle." Others in Scripture, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, you know, as he's brought to some recognition of God's holiness and God's magnificence. And Isaiah says in Isaiah 6:5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I mean, when you get a glimpse of God, you can't help but to realize what a miserable creature you are. And so, Jacob says, I am not worthy. And I tell you, I'm not worthy. And this church hasn't been worthy. But the Lord's been gracious and merciful. Once again, Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 8. And this thought never left Paul's mind, you know. Ephesians 3 and verse 8, he says, unto me, not only the least of the apostles, but he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. And he means Christians there, you know. He's not talking about the Roman Catholics. these folks they elevate up onto a pedestal and make them next to God, folks that you pray to. No, we're all saints if we're a child of God. Every born-again Christian is a child of God, or that is a child of God is a saint. Paul says, unto me, I'm less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? So the first thing I note is, you know, the Lord's been faithful, but we've been unworthy. 34 years. And Jacob, first thing out of his mouth when he speaks to God, he says, I am not worthy. And again, folks that think they're worthy really have no conception of what sin is and what the fall was. And if they have an idea that they're worthy, they deprecate the death of Christ on the cross. So Jacob says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. God's mercy. God's grace. His unmerited favor. An unmerited favor. That means we did nothing to deserve it. We could do nothing to deserve it. I mean, we can reflect upon and we could ask ourselves, and I think Jacob is here, why was God merciful to me? Why me? Well, you can't find that answer in you. And you can't find that answer in the mirror. That answer is in God. A couple verses, you know, that touch on that. In Galatians, we've been, again, studying Paul and his letter to the Galatians. And if you remember back in Galatians 1, where Paul was speaking of his God's work in his life, in Galatians 1 and verse 15, Paul says this, and here's the key. Here's why God was merciful to us, but when it pleased God. You know why he was merciful to you? Because it pleased him. No other reason. Not because he knew you were going to be a better recipient or a better person, or not because he knew you were going to respond to something. No, because it pleased him. Paul said, again, in Galatians 1, verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, it was all God, to reveal his son in me. God did it. That I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, but when it pleased God. Why was God merciful to us when we were unworthy? Because it pleased him. Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 1 and verse 15, verse 5, and he says this, having predestinated us. Some folks don't like that word. I want to tell you what, that's the only word you can find peace in. because it pleased him, because he did it. Otherwise, you're on your own. And I'm going to tell you, you're in a sad, sad shape if you're on your own. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. Because it pleased him. That's why he was merciful to us. For no other reason. Not because we were better or smarter or better looking or anything else. But because it pleased him. According to the good pleasure of his will. Wasn't anything you could look at and decide, this guy's smarter or better. Anything else? The Lord, during his earthly ministry, said this in Luke 10 and verse 21. Praise to the Father. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Because it seemed good in his sight? Because it pleased him. So maybe that doesn't answer the question the way we'd like to. You know, why was he merciful to us? Because it pleased him. That's all the answer we need. That's all the answer there is. Because it pleased him. And I'm thankful that it did. And he revealed to him, he says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. God's mercies that are poured out upon us, like I said when I started, there's some that I certainly won't recall today, and there's more that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. All the mercies, totally and completely undeserved. And it began with our salvation. Those of us that know him were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were heirs. We didn't know it. And we didn't look it. But we were. And in time, God revealed that to his children. He revealed who we are, who we were, and what our standing was. And folks, I can't explain it to you. Some folks have all their theology. They can explain those things. You know, God, because you did this, because you responded, because you made the right. I can't explain it to you. It's indescribable. It's above all. And again, it's not in me. It's not in us. It's not in this church. Paul writes to the saints in Rome. In Romans 9 and verse 15. He says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Some folks don't like that. Don't change it. He's God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Folks, some folks get upset that God is God. They get really upset. They call him, he's unfair if that's the way he is. That ain't right. Everybody should get a chance. A chance will take you straight to hell. That's the only place it'll take you. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God saved us because it pleased him. God showed mercy because he chose to show mercy. He showed compassion. And so, all of God's mercy that began with our salvation, and in the context of this church, perhaps next to that, the context of my life, context of the church life, was that the Lord gave me a faithful wife. And we weren't always faithful. We weren't always, you know, perfect, but she was a perfect one for me. That's what the Lord gave me. And the church is still here for 34 years because he's grown us together. I want you to know that. And even before that, when I left the Marine Corps and went off to cemetery, and those were some interesting years. We started off at what was almost an apostate Southern Baptist seminary, and you know, folks there didn't hardly believe nothing. And I was fighting every day, and I was sick of spirit every day I came home. But I fought. But the Lord put that in me. I'm not taking credit for it, but the Lord's given me a hard head. And he's used it for good sometimes, and I've probably used it for bad myself sometimes as well. But he gave me a wife, and he grew us together. He taught us these things together. I mean, I left the Marine Corps, went off to Southern Baptist Seminary. You know, you're going to go get a nice Southern Baptist church and go through there and retire after years. And that isn't the way it worked out. But I'm thankful it didn't. And that was the Lord's mercy. The Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And there's a reason that the scriptures say that the elder of the church is to be the husband of one wife. Because she's important too. She's a part of it as well. A critical part of it. And we better never forget that. So, in the context of the church, the Lord's blessings through the years is because the Lord's allowed us to grow together. He's taught us a lot of things. I didn't believe what I believe now 34 years ago. And I didn't believe what I believe now 40 years ago. You know, when I went off to cemetery, or however long ago that was. But the Lord taught us and grew us together and opened our eyes together. And I'm thankful the Lord's brought about and kept the church because of that. And the Lord brought folks to the church. Family, friends, associates, members. And that was the Lord's doing. Some came, some went. Some came in the earlier stage, maybe we should never have received them into the membership. We're careful about that, you know, because it's a whole lot easier to give somebody time and wait until they're ready. Then you bring folks in and then you got to deal with them or else try to put them out, you know. And it's the Lord that adds to the church. It's not the pastor. I don't twist people's arms. I've never asked anyone to join the church. I tell you what Scripture says in Acts 2, in the early church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord added to the church. I don't want to deal with the folks that I add to the church. They won't be nothing but trouble. Even the folks that the Lord adds to the church, you know, they're not perfect either, including me. But the folks that I would add to the church, you don't want to deal with them. But you have to eventually, or else, well, I guess you don't. A lot of churches don't even know what church discipline is anymore. But it's the Lord that added to the church. And the Lord accomplished things. You know, even folks who have gone and left us for whatever their own causes are, the Lord used them and use that in their lives and our lives. I don't know how it all meshes together. That's not my business. John tells us a verse I often reflect upon, because people sometimes get upset and, you know, downtrodden, and people leave and they don't like this or they don't like that. John said in John, 1 John 2 and verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. I don't claim to be able to look at a man's heart, tell you who's a born-again child of God or not. You know, being associated with Landmark Baptist Church isn't what gets you to heaven. I know the Lord used those folks and they departed. And whatever may be involved in that, it doesn't necessarily have to do with their spiritual state. They weren't of us, you know. They just didn't belong here, and they eventually realized it, for one thing or another. But it's the Lord that's brought people and sent people away. We've been bigger at times. We've not been a whole lot smaller at times. Right now, we got three members. Oh, let's say this as well. The Lord says where two or three are gathered together. That's what the scriptures say. Some folks have these ideas and they try to bring in the Jewish synagogues, which have nothing to do with anything, and how they had to have 10 men to organize a synagogue or something. That has nothing to do with the Lord's church. The Lord said where two or three are gathered together in my name, where they covenant together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been all of God, and it's been all of grace. So the comings and the goings, and I don't understand them all. And I don't wish anybody ill. But when they left, you know, I can't say I stood up and applauded, but the Lord knew. The Lord knew, and I trust Him. For their lives and for mine, for ours. I know this Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So it's the Lord that did these things. He brought them about. Brother Howland's prayer mentioned, you know, Hurricane Andrew. We started down in Homestead, you know, in South Florida. And there for many years, we meeting in our home, and then in a rented school facility, and then in a rented old motel facility, and then I led the church to go and buy it had been an old cracker home in downtown Homestead, and it had been turned into a florist shop, and it was a mess. You could walk in there and you could look up and see the sky, and you could look down and see the ground, but the Lord provided and led, and we got that to where it was fairly nice and livable and whatever. And then the Lord brought Hurricane Andrew and blew it away. That old house had been through a whole bunch of hurricanes, but Andrew did it in. And then eventually, you know, the Lord destroyed that meeting house and brought us up here and gave us this place, which I think, you know, again, in retrospect, certainly it was exactly where He wanted us to be, and I think it's exactly what we needed. He led us here, and so it is with all things. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Certainly the steps and the progresses of His churches are ordered by the Lord. So, Jacob, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of all the mercies. And then he goes on, and he says, and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. And all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. The Lord's been pleased, I think, to teach me and my wife and the church things through the years. We've grown. You know, and it began when I resigned my commission in the Marine Corps and went off to that cemetery. And, you know, Every day in class, I was fighting these infidels who were teaching the class, for crying out loud. I was older than most of the fellas. I'd been in the Marine Corps for 8 years, and I'd studied. I had a Lord to give me a good background and save me as a young man in a decent church. And I'd learned some basic principles, and I just knew those things weren't right. And I would fight back. And pretty soon my library started growing and growing and growing because I had to have a little bit of support. I needed a little bit of artillery, you know, to bring in on these infidels' heads. And so I learned from dead men. That's most of whatever I learned was from dead men. I'm not a spiritualist. I'm talking about books. You see, the Lord brought, you know, the old Baptist, the old theologians. I told a lady, we went to the mall the other day, and she got a little bookstore there, a little Christian bookstore, and it's not bad as a lot of them. But I told her, I said, you know, I go into a modern Christian bookstore, and it creeps me out. You know? It's scary. What if the Lord comes back and finds me here? You know, those things, they're a mess, most of them. The junk that's in there is not worth reading. You know, turn your brain to mush. And then the music a lot of them put out, I mean, you know, you might as well go down to the honky-tonk. Anyway, the Lord started allowing me to build a library of the old dead men that could speak to these things and could give me a little bit of guidance and help. And of course, mainly it's from the scriptures, but it helps to have some teachers. And my teachers weren't those guys standing in front of the class at the seminary, but the Lord taught me in the fire in these things. And so Jacob says, and of all the truth, because I studied and learned and brought, came to convictions totally contrary to what I was being taught in class, by and large. And even as I went to other seminaries and funny mentalist school at in Lynchburg, and then even off to Wisconsin, you know, there was always conflict, which I guess was a good thing. The Lord taught me things, and I was forced to learn these things, and they came to be firm convictions. I mean, for instance, and just one little thing, and I was never an easy believism Arminian, you know. I never went along with that junk, but I was what you might in some ways call a high Arminian or whatever, you know. I still, the whole concept maybe of the limited atonement used to kind of grate on me a long time ago. I didn't know any better. I was stupid. And I argued with folks, and I had conflicts with some brethren back and forth, and they couldn't teach me nothing. But over time, the Lord taught me something. He's, I'm God. And I did this. And you had nothing to do with it. And the Lord had taught me these things and brought me the church truths. I grew up in a church after the Lord saved me that, you know, believed in church truths. I mean, I cut my teeth on the Trail of Blood. When I was at that first cemetery, they made fun of the Trail of Blood, and they made fun of landmarkism. And I thought, at that point, I was the only person in the world that still believed those things. Really? I went found that book in the library, The Trail of Blood, and I burnt, had copies, made copies of it. Back then, copies weren't cheap. I had copies made of every page of that because I said, they must not publish this anymore. Nobody must believe this anymore. Well, come to find out, the Lord still had a remnant. He still had 10,000, hadn't bent the knee to Baal, but I didn't know that. The Lord taught church truths, and I could go on and on to other things. I won't get into a lot of them. We got a meeting tomorrow night, Free Florida First. Now, brethren, you say, well, you know, that's not a part of your ministry. I understand it's separate from the church, but it is part of my ministry. That's why I'm here. You see? And so, you know, we don't worship the American Empire. and their empire building, and we don't fly the striped flag, and that's going to get some folks mad. And you know what? I can't help it. I'm not deliberately trying to make them mad. But the Lord was pleased, I think, to teach me some things. Not that I'm infallible. Not that I know all truths. But we don't worship the empire. We don't worship the empire's flag. We don't worship the empire's, you know, enforcement people, the military and the police. We don't do that. And I'm thankful the Lord was pleased to teach me those things, because I didn't always believe that. You know? I was a Marine Corps infantry officer, for crying out loud. I was the fella told the Lord or whatever, you know. I've got authority over people, you know. I'm a man of authority, of a position, you know. You don't want to come to my house, you know. But there's only one that's got authority. That's the thing. And here's what I think. I look back and the Lord's taught so much over the years. And you know what? If I'd have been more faithful, I think he would have taught me even more. And I hope that he's still planning on teaching me some more. And I'm willing to learn and grow if by his grace. And I pray that he might be pleased to do that. And so Jacob says, of all the truth that you've shown me, and I think about that in my own life, and it's just amazing. The Lord's opened it. He teaches us truth in different ways, and through different means, and through different people, and through different teachers. I think maybe Brother Hal has learned a couple things since he's come to this church, you know? And I used to think every Sunday his hair was going to be curled, and I'll go see him again. Because, you know, we were preaching things that they don't preach down there at the First Church. But I trust we were preaching them because they were truth. And that's what, by the grace of God, we seek to do. And so Jacob says, and I got to move along. He says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant. For with my staff, I just had this stick when I left home. All I had was this walking stick. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. And now I become two bands. The Lord's blessed amazingly. And through the years he's grown this church. Maybe not numbers, but in so many other ways. And the Lord, you know, himself, when he referred to his disciples, he referred to them as a little flock. I love that terminology. We're a little flock. The Lord said in Luke 12, verse 29, seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so, through the years, what the Lord's given us, and that quickly come to mind, you know, the Lord's given me a measure of health and ability to continue on. I know a lot of brethren that are preaching, they're a lot older than I, but I know some that done went home that are a lot younger than me, you know. And I'm 69 years old. Don't seem old, and it don't seem young. But maybe it seems old to some people. I can see you smiling. The Lord's been pleased to give me a measure of health, and to my wife. And he's given us other. We have this outreach via the internet, via the godless Facebook, the way Facebook Live, and people sit in and watch our sermons. on Sunday. And then go back and watch them during the week. Started out with a printing ministry. I put together a little, where I learned to be a graphics artist, which I never was, and learned to be a webmaster, which I never was, but I made a living of it when I came up here. I worked for the University of Florida. You know, those women that I worked with, they never knew I didn't know what I was doing. I told them every day I don't know what I'm doing, but I did it, and I learned it to put together a newsletter and a web page for the church. That's how it all started. And the Lord was pleased, you know, to teach those things and to bring us along. I had a little newsletter I first used to send out. It was printed out on a dot matrix printer. Most of you don't even know what those were. And you couldn't put graphics, pictures, real pictures or anything in it. It's just printed with dot, you know. But the Lord blessed and taught. And I believe I'm where the Lord wants me to be, doing what He wants me to be doing. I don't do it perfectly, no. I get bummed out sometimes, yeah. I feel like quitting sometimes, yeah. But sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm studying or putting together something and I'm thinking, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Get up at 2:30 in the morning and doing research and putting stuff together. I say, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. 2:30 in the morning doesn't register with a lot of folks. I don't understand that, but that's what the Lord, you know, brings about. And so the Lord's blessings that He's poured out, we've crossed over with just the staff, and He's given us so much more. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He loved us with an everlasting love. And I thank the Lord for these past 34 years. I don't know what the future has to bring. You know, right now, what we have three members. Well, that's one more than you need. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, but, you know, two or three, the Lord says. And after I'm gone, there'll still be two, and they can decide what they want to do. But and it may not go on here. I mean, we started in Homestead and we came up here. And I would rather Landmark Baptist Church cease to be than become apostate. You know, we could be in some big old first church and have all the bricks and mortar and stained glass and whatever. And you know what it'd say up over the door? You know what it would say? Ichabod! The Spirit of God has departed this place. But still say First Church up there. But it really says, Ichabod! And I'd rather the Lord just shut it down. Because He's going to sustain His churches through the ages. There'll be a true church, and He'll maintain it till He comes back. Heaven and earth may pass away. My church shall not pass away. And my words shall not pass away. And they said, I'll be with my church till the end of the ages. I will build my church. So, the Lord's been faithful these 34 years. We've not always been as we should have been. But I look forward to what the Lord may have to bring in the future. And that's about what I got to say this morning, I think. If someone else wants to say a word or two, you're welcome to. Don't feel like you have to. Anybody don't feel like you have to. But if somebody else wants to say a word or two, you're welcome to do that too. This might be an appropriate time to do it. Anybody? Okay. I should have given you some warning, but I didn't. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll turn to page number 86. We'll stand and sing this closing hymn, At the Cross, number 86. At the Cross, number 86.
Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he invoke that sacred end for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. But we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we, as Jacob, say that we're unworthy. And yet you've been merciful. And you've taught. And you've blessed. Beyond measure. Lord, when we've been unfaithful, you've been faithful. Lord, we thank you for all that you've accomplished in this your church in the past 34 years. Lord, we pray that you might be pleased to continue to keep your hand upon us and to guide and to provide. That you might be glorified, that we might be that people that you would have us to be, that we might indeed be a chaste bride. Father, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for your eternal love. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints, for the work of the Spirit, and Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you again for our Savior, and we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.